back to Matt Flynn, director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the January 6th panel has just released some findings. They are missing 8 hours of Trump phone calls, almost 8 hours. It's 7 hours and 37 or 8 minutes on January 6th. Now, let me tell you the procedure and what that means. The procedure is that there's a guy, a staffer, or a woman sitting at a desk outside the president's office, and their only job is to keep track of everything to the minute that the president does in terms of phone calls, who called them, who he called, visitors, that kind of thing. It's required by law to show the presidential activities during a day. And it's not just to make sure that the guy isn't a traitor and a crook and sneaking meetings with people he shouldn't be meeting with. He can meet with whoever he wants, but he shouldn't be sneaking around. And obviously, if he leaves the office and he travels somewhere to Europe, or he travels to New York or anywhere, LA, there's somebody keeping track of all that. It's very, very rare, but here, the last call that they have him making in or out is something like the late morning. And the next one is in the evening. So over 7 hours, which included all of the insurrection and everything after it. There are several theories that seem to explain this. One is, he, in the past, when he was trying to conceal a call, would use an aide's phone, one of his aides. You know, Scavino, one of these people, would take the call and hand him his phone. There is also a belief that he used burner phones, disposable phones. When he was asked about that, he said, burner phone, he said, quote, to the best of my knowledge, I have never heard the term, end quote. In long years of practicing law, I have never heard anybody say, quote, to the best of my knowledge, unless he was lying. The average person doesn't say, to the best of my knowledge. That's hiding something. That means he does remember it, and he's just saying he doesn't. An honest person says, I don't even know what that means. That's it. But nobody nowadays doesn't know what a disposable phone or burner phone is, especially if they're the president of the United States. We know that there were calls. It wasn't that he was uncharacteristically silent for 7 hours. Because Kevin McCarthy said, I called him and told him to call off these people. And he said, Kevin, apparently they care more about their country than you do. You remember that? McCarthy said that to a Republican congresswoman from Oregon who repeated it. And then Kevin McCarthy said, to the best of my knowledge, I don't recall that. He's lying too, but he did say it. But a lot of people got through to him. Sean Hannity got through to him, said he got through to him, saying, you got to stop this. A number of other people got through to him. So how is that possible that his logs and any recordings aren't there? It's possible that it was aides' phones, although unlikely that it was all the phone calls of aides. If so, there will be a record of calls from them, but there's no record of who they handed the phone over to. It's possible they were burner phones and they got tossed in the bottom of a lake somewhere. Remember, Trump is the guy that destroyed records. First of all, he took many boxes of records that were classified to Mar-a-Lago, which is a felony. So far, Merrick Garland hasn't done anything about that. Well, with Hillary Clinton, she used a private server for some emails, but they were secured. Nobody got to see them. And they opened a criminal investigation about that, whereas Trump takes many boxes of secret documents. And what, we're not doing anything? We're not doing anything? Republican attorneys general did it. I'll tell you what, Garland, Merrick Garland, got to wake up. You got to be a little aggressive, even moderately aggressive. Trump also was seen eating some documents. Now, that sounds strange, but there's a one of his aides came by, and occasionally, obviously, he's not eating a 200-page report. But what I'm saying is, let's say it's a little note, like a little piece of paper with a phone number on it. He'll eat it. He'll eat the damn thing. I mean, he'll eat it. What's this all about? What's this all about? Then he'd flush them down the toilet. Some of the toilets got clogged up. Somebody goes, how can a toilet in the White House be clogged up so frequently? Nobody's using it except Trump. And he is indeed an unpleasant person, but for love of Pete, I mean, it was documents. They went down there, the plumbers went down, and they found documents. The guy is sick. The guy's a sick guy. How do I say this more politely? The guy is a sick guy. But what he did is he concealed 7 hours. Now, why that's significant is, you know, he's a sociopath. He's he suffers from sadonarcissism, diagnosed by a number of eminent psychiatrists, although they didn't examine him personally, but just looking at his course of conduct. And so he will do something. He's capable, frankly, of killing somebody, in my view, and if he thinks it's the right thing to do, he won't look guilty at all. But when you conceal something, that is evidence of intent. And I'll give you an example. Guy robs a bank, okay? He gets away, and in the woods nearby, he takes off his clothes and puts on different clothes, puts on a wig. You know, maybe he wore a white jacket, now he puts on a black jacket, you know, that kind of thing. When they catch him, that what he did is used as evidence. The judge will say to the jury, or the prosecutor will say initially, this guy changed clothes. He put on a wig. He was trying to disguise himself. That means that he knew what he did was wrong. When a guy wipes out 7 hours and ...37 or 8 minutes of phone calls, of records, when he was calling with people all the time, that is evidence that he knew what he was doing was wrong. What he knew was he knew what he was doing was wrong. With Richard Nixon, and many of you won't remember this, back in the early 70s, some of the evidence that caught him was he tape recorded every sound in the Oval Office. And that had been going on for a while. It may have been going on since Lyndon Johnson. So all of his discussions with Haldeman and Ehrlichman and the people who were planning Watergate. Remember Watergate? Nixon was so far ahead in the polls over McCarthy that it wasn't even close. He was so far ahead in the polls, he didn't even have to do this. But the fact of the matter was, what he did do was he sent a burglar team in to burglarize the Democratic National Committee, which had its offices at the Watergate Hotel and Watergate condos, and they were in there taking paper files. Now the Russians are doing it. It's a burglary, it's a felony. Nobody apparently is doing anything about that. Same thing as burglary. But back then what he did, they were on their knees going through files, and they had a door closed, and they had taped the latch. A night watchman came by, and he noticed it was taped, so he pulled the door shut. When he went by 20 minutes later, it had been opened again. Then he went in and caught him, and it turned out that Nixon had tried to cover it up, and out he was thrown. Now, when he ran against McGovern, I said McCarthy before, McCarthy ran in the primary, Eugene McCarthy, back in 68, but George McGovern was the nominee against Nixon in 72. And the problem was George McGovern was actually a great guy. And everybody goes, oh, he was to the left in those days. And everybody goes, oh, to the left, you know, he's weak on defense. He flew 35 bomber missions over Nazi Germany. He was risking being shot down 30 some odd times. He had more combat experience than anybody running for president in a long time. But he didn't publicize that. He was a gentle guy. So Nixon smeared him. In any event, Nixon had a secretary named Rosemary Woods. And when the Watergate committee looked at it, this is very similar to the January 6th insurrection committee, they found that there were 18 minutes missing, erased. And they turned out to be a conversation he had with Haldeman, one of his chiefs of staff, about really cooking up the cover-up. So they took Rosemary Woods' testimony. You know what she did? She's a very nice lady, older lady. She said, "I did it inadvertently." And they said, "Okay, show us how you could do that inadvertently." And, you know, that was primitive technology then, but here's what she did. You know, she's wearing a skirt. She puts one foot on this floor pedal. Then she has to reach over to the phone and touch another button. She wasn't that tall a woman. You know, she was maybe 5'6". She sort of stretched out like somebody grabbed her and stretched her out. And they said, "Oh, you did that by accident, did you?" Well, clearly Nixon made her say that, and they didn't go after her, but he got thrown out. But here's the deal. Well, what he did was he resigned. He was about to be impeached. Then Gerald Ford pardoned him, and then Gerald Ford got beaten by Jimmy Carter in 1976. So what are we going to do about this? Hey, Merrick Garland, what are we going to do about this? You have a president who has chewed on documents, flushed them down the toilet, stolen Mar-a-Lago, and he's gotten rid of 7 hours, 8 hours almost of records with burner phones, AIDS phones. And what are we going to do? We're going to continue to then have to find the AIDS and do this. And if we lose the midterms, Kevin McCarthy is the speaker. He will disband the January 6th commission, pardon everybody, and get rid of the subpoenas. That's what's happening. But Merrick Garland, you're going to be AG for 2 more years beyond that. And Biden, you'll be president at least for 2 more years beyond that. Get these guys. What are you waiting for? Get these guys. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire.